Thank you for joining me. It's great to be here with you today. Let's pray. I received an email. It was yesterday. I think it was last night. I was going through my emails. And I received this. It's from a person who served. Dennis, thank you for writing me. A man who is a Vietnam veteran. He's an ambassador also for Relevant Radio. It was St. Stephen's Parish there in Tinley Park, Illinois. So a shout out to everybody there. He says, Drew, I'm asking, is it possible that on Veterans Day, during the Chaplet of Mercy, that you can take calls from veterans who, may have lost family or loved ones, or those who died in action, or those that have family members or friends with health or financial problems, those who are currently serving? Please, as a veteran who listens to Relevant Radio every day and prays a chaplet with you every day, would you give veterans this honor in taking their call-in intentions? And I thought, what a brilliant and beautiful idea. I would love to do that. There are a couple lines open right now. So if you served, if you've lost somebody who's served, if there's somebody currently serving that you're a member to, I think family members are entitled to that same privilege. I mean, they suffer in their own ways. Feel free to call in. I'm going to open the lines. Great opportunity for you to join us. And here's the number. It's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I'd love to hear from you. So feel free to go ahead and call in with your intentions. I'll get you on the air, okay? We'll be more than glad to do that. And I want to thank everybody who's been writing to me, too, with, answered prayers. And there's been some big ones and some small ones. A person said, hey, look, after 15 months of being laid off by a large tech company with a world presence, my daughter received a very good job offer with the same company. And guess what, Drew? We've been praying for her. She accepted. It'll be a different kind of work and a whole new genre, but she's excited after so many months of job applications and multiple interviews. Thanks be to God, and thanks be to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Thank God in His mercy from which all flows. I love that. Thank you very much. Well, congratulations. We'll pray for new jobs today, too, and I love when God answers those prayers. That's a long time to be off, almost a year and a half. Another person said, hey, I wrote to you just a couple days ago in October. I was the second to the last caller from Edina, Minnesota. You actually said Mississippi on the air, but it was Minnesota. She says, my niece in her 50s had an emergency brain surgery that morning to remove a brain tumor. Well, my prayer intention was that she be completely healed, that tumor be benign, and that her recent radical cognitive difficulties may be restored. Drew, let me just tell you what happened. We prayed the chaplet. The diagnosis was a benign meningioma. I hope I can get that words right. She was discharged from the hospital on November to rehab and then discharged home 4 days later with vastly improved cognition. I want to say thank you to Jesus for a beautiful answer to prayer and for this primary caretaker of her parents in her 80s and her husband with ongoing cancer. Drew, thanks for the dedication to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. God is good all the time, they say. And God is good. And I never sure come. I ask for miracles, all the time. And I love that. And God can work miracles, but He also uses medicine. He uses the natural many times to bring about answers to our prayers, and we had to look for that, and we've got to explore that as well, and always be patient, wait on God. Hey, I'm joined by my colleague Beth Groshek. She's here with us this afternoon, and Beth, it's always a delight to talk with you. Anything you want to pray for today?
Just for my friends and family, their intentions, and then a personal intention.
All right, now I want to pray for my daughter, my Marine. All right, Andre, I'm praying for you, and grateful for God's blessing of her and for all my children. I want to pray for our country today in particular, for those who serve, and just that God will be merciful to this nation, that He'll protect us from degeneration, that He'll protect us from disaster, from war, from disease, and that He'll bring about the conversion not only of our leaders' hearts, but those who are our enemies. So let's pray right now. We'll join together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today. We'll see how many we can get in. We'll start with Dennis. He is actually listening in Tinley Park, Illinois. Hey, Dennis, was it your email that I just read?
Yes, it was, Drew, yes. And thank you very much for accepting it. I greatly appreciate that on behalf of all veterans. And that's my first intention today is we pray for all veterans, both living and deceased, who have served our country. I'm praying for my sister-in-law who passed away a few days ago. Praying for my son who is still grieving over the loss of his wife about a year ago. And I want to thank God also for my wife's spinal stenosis, that God is taking care of her, and for the successful test that my daughter had a few days ago. And finally, Drew, I want to thank God every day and pray for all the intentions of all the on-air personnel at Relevant Radio, for your intentions. That's and awesome. For your family. God bless all of you.
Thank you.
And God bless
thank
our country.
God bless our country, Dennis. Thank you very much for calling, and I think you started a new tradition here on Veterans Day. I think we'll do this every year and invite those who serve and those family members who serve and those that need to give us a call. Lord, I give you Dennis. I pray for his son especially. I could not imagine losing my wife and how agonizing that could be. I pray for his wife and her spinal stenosis. I pray for him. I pray for all troops and military who have seen the horrors of war, who suffered, who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Lord, I pray just for this country again. May you continue to bless it. May you hold back your hand of justice and shower us in your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Paul is praying in the land of Lincoln, Illinois. Hi, Paul. Good afternoon.
Hi, yes, Drew. I want to remember 16 troops that died in operational training and or combat overseas. There was three KIAs in operation in Team Spirit, Iraq, 1982. There were eight killed in the Iran to Straits of Hormuz Theater during Desert Shield in Huey helicopters in the Marine Corps. There were two KIA CBs during CSE operation June 5th of 2006. There was another dismembering and IED July 12th of 06. Yeah. CB, there was a U.S. Marine KIA Niles West graduate October 30th, 2006. There was a CB October 25th, 2006 due to an IED blowing up his Humvee. And for their intercession for the United States operations and for as prayer that they'd be relieved of any wars of being blown up or, you know, during these operations, during their death.
Hey, Paul, that's such a great intention, too. I mean, I'm glad you brought that forward. And I know so many people suffered in so many ways, but I do. You often think of these tragedies that take place, not only from friendly fire, but from accidents, training exercises, and so many other things. Lord, I pray right now for Paul. I lift up all the intentions he just voiced. And again, on this day, we remember our veterans. We pray for those who served this nation and those who've gone before us as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. We'll grab a few more calls. Before I do, let me bring Maggie into the conversation, too. Maggie, I know you're monitoring our Twitter feed. You can follow us at Drew Mariani Show. That's our show handle. You can follow me at Drew Mariani. It's always good to stay in touch with you when we're off the air. Maggie, what's coming in?
So one of our colleagues, Diana, wrote to me this morning. She said that a young man that was in her her son's Boy Scout troop had committed suicide last night. He was 16 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I really want to pray for this boy's soul, for his family, for this Boy Scout troop, and for all of his friends at school. And then we've got a number of veteran intentions here. A caller called in and wanted to pray for their brother Edward, who was killed in Vietnam. Lori wrote to us and said, please pray for Sarah and Patrick, both serving in the Navy and expecting their first child. Edward wrote to us and said, I served from 2003 to 2008, combat veteran with the 82nd Airborne Division. Please pray for my family and I. Patience, perseverance, and endurance. James wrote to us and he said, please pray for my friend Ron and his wife Jan, whom I've known for many years, and for the repose of their of the soul of their son, Brian. Brian served in Afghanistan and unfortunately took his life last January.
Oh, sad.
Yeah. And then lastly, Richard asked us to pray for his wife, Janet. She goes in for a CT scan on her neck today, and they're praying that that's normal and clear, and he just wants her to know how much he loves her.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Maggie, for doing that. I'm going to grab Ann's call. Just a quick update. I have a friend who asked me to pray for one of his colleagues. He was having brain surgery. This took place, I think it was last Thursday, or maybe the Thursday before, and we had been praying for this here on the chaplain. He got back to me and said the surgery went perfectly, and the friend of his is now recovering just brilliantly. And this man's a surgeon, so he knew the danger, what loomed for him. So he's grateful for your prayers. I know that our prayers certainly had a blanket of protection for him. Anne in Minneapolis, Minnesota, good afternoon.
Hi. I'd like to pray for my nephew, Matthew, who is serving now. and for my nephew, Michael, who served in Afghanistan, as well as deceased veterans, my father, Michael, my uncle, Charles, my aunt, Mary, and my aunt, Kathleen.
All right. Well, thank you. Well, add my father to that. He served and passed away. And Lord, I just give you Ann's intentions, all those that Maggie has voiced, all those now on hold, all those praying with me. You are mercy and love itself. So we come before you with these intentions and those that we have in our heart as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Cedar Rapids, Iowa next. Dan is praying in Iowa. Hi, Dan. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'd like to pray for the repose of the soul of Lieutenant Colonel Paul Finken. He and I served together in the Army. We joined back in the 80s. And he was killed in action in Iraq on November 2nd, 2006. And we buried him 15 years ago today on Veterans Day.
Wow.
And so I'd like to remember him, the wife, and the three little girls he left behind. So I'd like to lift him up today.
I'm sorry for your loss, Dan. Thank you for your yes too, for your service to our country, and I want to pray for you and all your personal needs as well. But we'll certainly pray for your Lieutenant Colonel friend who you served with, and on this anniversary of his death, Lord, I give you all those who have served, all those who have laid down their life for the cause of freedom. I pray for their friends and their families and for their children. Lord, I pray also for this country and those who do not respect the freedoms that we have. Our military, those who are willing to serve. Lord, the blessings that you've given to us. And I just ask for the conversion of this nation, that they may come to know you and cherish the wonderful freedoms that this nation has. And I pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I'm going to try to take one or two more, maybe another. I'll take a couple calls right now. Mary is in Illinois praying. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi there, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to pray for my father, who is a World War II vet. He's 95. He's the oldest one I know that's still around. But he was a young man when he was in there. He's, you know, at the end of his life now. He was a prisoner of war when he was 19 years old.
Wow.
And him and his group, anyway, they had to break out. They got out. They broke out. They got out. And he's just been a wonderful dad. And I know that I pray for him because I know he saw horrors. He was an infantryman, you know, on the ground.
Wow.
And a young man, and they saw a lot. And I know they saw a lot, maybe did a lot. I don't know, but I pray for them all. It was a was not a happy time. So,
well, let's pray for him. He's one of the greatest generation, you know. And my father went into the military when he was 17 years of age. He kind of lied about his age. He went into the Navy, and he fought in World War II too, Mary. So I'll pray for your father, and please pray for the soul of mine. Let me sneak another call in here too, and we'll add this to our final decade here. Teresa is Illinois. Teresa, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I'd like to pray for my brother Jim, who's a Vietnam vet, for healing of his Charcot syndrome and all the psychological and spiritual effects of all the battles that he engaged in. And for all the vets who are suicidal.
Yeah, such an important intention. Mary, thank you. Teresa, thank you. Thank you, everyone. We thank everyone who's on hold here. Lord, I thank you for the freedoms that we have in this nation. And I just pray for those who have been wounded physically and psychologically as a result of violence and hatred, conflict, and war. I pray for her brother in particular, and those men and women today who are suicidal, who have cognitive disabilities and physical disabilities and emotional disabilities. And I just ask for healing. This is an hour. This is a time where we gather, and your grace flows and heals. Takes place, and miracles are often reported. So I just lift up everyone on hold, everyone who's written to me, everyone united now in prayer with me. And just you hear, I just ask you to hear our resounding prayer for your mercy. Read our hearts, and Lord, in your goodness, answer us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Martin Tours,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Blessed Stanislaus Paczynski,
pray for us.
Saint Therese,
pray for us.
Padre Pio,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you, family, for praying with me. I just love that prayer. And I'm telling you what, souls in purgatory are rejoicing today because of our prayers. And I know that, you know, there's so many forgotten souls that need our prayers. And thank you for praying with me. Thank you for praying for me. I do need your prayers too. And I'm very grateful for them. You can send me your intentions anytime. It's drew@relevantradio.com. Or, you know, you can put them on our Facebook or our Twitter page at Drew Mariani Show. And of course, send me your answer prayers. I love them. I want to share more of them with you. There's a lot that have been coming in. A lot of people saying, hey, you can't believe this, but God came through. Drew@relevantradio.com in the little memo line, just put answered prayer and then just a couple lines or paragraph or two, whatever you want to do. Just share your story with me. It's always good to hear how God is working. We got a lot coming up here too. So I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll get into it. I read one of the most compelling talks or opinion pieces, if you want. I don't even want to call it an opinion piece. It really is. It was done by His Excellency, the Most Reverend Jose Gomez, right? And this was so enlightening about where we are as a church in America. What's not only happened to religion, but what the new religion is. And coming up in a few minutes, I'll share some of it with you. You have to hear it, and I'll post it, and maybe you can share it with others. But we still have a lot more to talk about. So let me take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into that and more.
Need some hope as a reminder that everything will be okay? Stay with us. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land. Well, happy Veterans Day to everyone. So good to be with you today. Thank you for your service if you've served our nation. And if you haven't, that's okay too. Let's live our patriotism. Let's hold up these great values our founding fathers put into writing. And let's always respect the inalienable right to life. I think that's one of the greatest atrocities of our modern day. It really is. We've given this inalienable right to life, to liberty, to the pursuit of happiness. And boy, we're seeing some real conflict in our own day. We're in an ideological war. You know, Archbishop Gomez, coming up in maybe about 5 or 10 minutes, I want to share with you something that he wrote that it pulls back the veil on where we are. And I read a lot of stuff. I'm constantly exposed to information. I'm consuming stuff all the time. Not everything always stings me. But this one really pricked me. It pricked my conscience. Said, my gosh, he is so on point with what he's saying here. And I think you'll value it. And I'm just going to share his words with you coming up. But first, since it is Veterans Day, I thought I'd share something else with you too. I think it's a good time to reflect on making sacrifices for our country. We talk about all those who say yes and they enter our military. Are willing to ultimately lay down your life. That's what you do when you go into service, whether you're in the military, whether you're in law enforcement, whatever it is. It's a sacrificial vocation. I remember hearing a story. I don't know if you've heard this before. The story of the Sullivan brothers, you know who they are? That was, they served in World War II. And when you hear this, you might recall. Maybe you don't. Maybe this is new to you. They were from Waterloo, Iowa. They're five brothers, right, from one family. And all the brothers, they wanted to serve. So they joined the Navy the very start of the war. Two of them had been in the Navy earlier, George and Frank, and they had been honorably discharged after their service. They and their three younger brothers, their names were Joe, Matt, and Al, they joined up. They went into the service less than a month after Pearl Harbor. And they insisted that they be assigned to the same ship. So the Navy policy at the time was that siblings were to be separated. It really wasn't enforced. So they got assigned to the light cruiser, the USS Juneau. And the ship participated in a number of battles and then went to the naval battle. I forget the name of it. I think it was the Guadalcanal in the South Pacific, if my memory serves me correctly. And during the battle, the ship took a torpedo. It was torpedoed by a Japanese sub. And for some reason, it was still able to stay afloat. And it was on its way to a rear area base called Espiritu Santo, Holy Spirit, right, to repair the damage when all of a sudden another Japanese sub found it. Loaded its torpedo, chambers, and fired it at the ship. This time it hit the right near the ship's ammunition storage, and it just blew the ship right out of the water. Other ships in the area, they didn't think anyone could have survived, right? There's no way you'd ever be able to survive the blast due to just a whole series of miscommunications were going on. So a search party wasn't even sent out. They didn't send a search party out for 8 days. Can you imagine being in the middle of the Pacific for 8 days? What about fresh water? What about the sun? What about sharks? What about all these other things, right? By then, only 10 men out of the original 100 men were found. And it was discovered that Frank, Joe, and Matt, three of the five brothers, were killed instantly in the blast. Al, the fourth brother, he drowned the next day. And George, he was the oldest. He survived for, they say, 4 to 5 days. But then, again, being exposed to scorching sun, lack of water, dehydration, he became sick with delirium. And he just slipped into the water from the raft that he was clinging to. And he was never seen again. Well, the news of their deaths, it made nationwide news, of course, and even international news. The Pope at the time was the great Pope Pius XII, and he personally sent their parents a message. He sent them a message of regret, telling them, you know, how he ached for their loss, and he sent them a rosary along with a silver religious medal. I'm not quite sure what the medal was. But their deaths as a result of these five, can you imagine five brothers? Now, I'm one of five children. I've got a brother and three sisters, or I've got five kids. I have three sons and two daughters. Imagine them all dying. I mean, as a parent, how do you get your head around that? So their death spurred what is now known as the sole survivor policy, which says that the military, they can't draft someone if their siblings have already died in the service. So I want to remember today the Sullivans, who put their lives on the line to save our country in a horrific war. They went into battle against an imperialist country, and they sacrificed their lives for the true good, for the freedom, for the liberty of others, for you and for me. And that's noble, and that's heroic. And it's something that God, believe it or not, calls all of us to. So we'll remember them today as well. I've always remembered that story, and I've always loved that. It's a lesson for all of us. You know, we may not have to be torpedoed here in this country, but boy, we have to uphold the rights of others. You know, we have to root out intrinsic racism and discrimination where that may be. We can't buy into the current ideology that everything is racist, that bridges are racist, that the police departments are racist. I don't buy that personally. You know, we have to also uphold those who are most vulnerable amongst us, and that's those children in the womb. That's our elderly. And I just see such an attack. As citizens, you and I, we're united, no matter what state we live in this great nation, to do just that, to uphold the inalienable right to life and to liberty of our fellow Americans. You know, we're living in a strange time, though. We really are. We are living in a time when people who analyze what's going on in the country during these times are just a dime a dozen. It used to be, you know, when I was looking at, you know, getting into journalism and being a journalist and a broadcaster, you know, you look at some of the great paragons of that industry where my professors, in fact, you know, always told me that, you know, as a journalist, you're supposed to be the watchdog of the government. You're not supposed to show your political affiliation. You know, they had all these different standards that they kind of governed their performance by. Today, it's totally different. You turn on your cable news, and clearly you see the partisan politics on channels. You clearly hear people espousing their own views that aren't even based. In fact, you see the pundits and the guests that come on the shows as well. Very few get to the real source of what's happening. And those who do get to the real source, and I'm not saying this because I'm Catholic, but I do believe it, they tend to be Catholic. Why? Why can I say that? I think because there is a grace with our faith. I mean, we as Catholics, not that others can't, don't get me wrong here, but I think we are able to see with God's vision. Archbishop Emeritus Charles Chaput from the great Archdiocese of Philadelphia is one who does. I love his writings. Archbishop Jose Gomez from Los Angeles, last week he gave an address via Zoom to something called the Congress of Catholics in Public Life. It took place in Madrid, Spain. It might have flown under your radar. I saw it last week, and I read it. And as I was reading this, I thought, oh my gosh, it's marvelous. It's brilliant. It's insightful. He's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on, and he sees what's coming. You wonder, where are we going, Drew? What's going on in this country? Where are we headed? Right? I mean, look at the division. Look at the animosity. Look at the indoctrination. Look at the current flawed ideologies that are out there. Look at the attack on life. Look at the reorientation that we're seeing in the culture, the redefinition of things that have been around for millennia, like marriage. Where are we going? It's accelerating. The pandemic has accelerated this. And, you know, the Archbishop actually has a great insight on that. He does see the impact of the pandemic on all this. He looked very clearly at what's going on in the country today, and he confronted it head on. And it's so good that when I come back, I'm going to take a short pause here. I'm going to share portions of it with you, okay? I'll get it posted as well. There's one thing you're going to notice. He talks about the reality that there are inequities in our country. There are inequities. But when he uses that word, he's not using it like the left uses it. I mean, we hear that all the time, don't we? We hear that word inequity. It's one of those buzzwords. No. Archbishop Gomez is pointing out obvious facts. There is injustice in our country. I don't think anybody can dispute that. Some of it, yeah, it falls along racial lines. I'm not disputing that. But there are many, many other ways that injustice exists. So keep that in mind, and I'll share with you what he said when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. You'll get some real Catholic answers right here.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Well, happy Veterans Day to you. Thank you for your service. If you are active in our military or you have served or you're a family member, it's great to be an American, isn't it? I personally think we should have mandatory service. You know, I think everybody should do at least a year, if not military, you know, some sort of other social outreach. I think service is good. I think it's important. I want to share with you a little bit, if you're just joining me, of reflections on where we are as a church and what America's new religion is. His Excellency Archbishop Gomez, as I was sharing, gave this address recently. I gave it via Zoom to the Congress of Catholics in Public Life over in Madrid, Spain. And as I said, I think it's really insightful. I don't know if I'll be able to share it all with you. I'm going to share a majority of it. I think I'll share it in his words. He says this. He says, look, I think we all know that while there are unique conditions in the United States, he says there are similar broad patterns of aggressive secularizations. They've been active both in Spain and in Europe. He sees them in other places of the world. He says, but today, let me know if you agree with this. He says there's an elite leadership class that has risen in our countries that has little interest in religion and no real attachment to the nations that they live in or to the local traditions and culture. I thought, oh, he is so on point on that. This group, which is now in charge in corporations, governments, universities, the media, and in the cultural and professional establishments, he says they want to establish what we might call a global civilization built on a consumer economy and guided by science, technology, humanitarian values, and a technocratic ideas about organizing society. It's such a great point. We are seeing this, aren't we? I mean, I don't want to get conspiratorial. People want to talk about one world government and a whole lot of things, but we're seeing this. We have this global civilization. Nobody has these attachments anymore to their nation. We've seen a loss in patriotism. People have lost their local traditions. Culture is no longer as important as it once was. All this is built on consumerism, you know, and humanitarian values, he says. He says in this elite worldview, there's no need for old-fashioned belief systems and religions. In fact, they see religion, especially Christianity, is only getting in the way of society, the society that they hope to build. Did you hear that? That's why I said the next great threat, and you're going to see this, you mark my words, is an attack on religious freedoms, religious liberty in this country. He says the elite worldview, there is no longer, you know, they have no need for this old-fashioned belief system. They see religion and especially Christianity as an obstacle to the society that they hope to build. He says, this is important to remember. He says, in practice, and again, as a Catholic, you go back and take a look at the popes and some of the great writing that's been done by some of the Catholic thinkers. He says, popes have pointed out that secularization to them means de-Christianization. Secularization means de-Christianization. And for years now, there has been this deliberate effort in Europe and America to erase the Christian roots of society and to ultimately suppress any remaining Christian influence. You know, when the EU was doing their European constitution, they scrubbed Christianity from it. Why do you want to eradicate your roots, your history? Look at some of the nations that are in Europe, France and Spain, and look at the Italy, look at the Christian heritage, the history there. But he's right. I think it's a really salient point. And popes have said it. Secularization means de-Christianization. And you see these powers wanting to scrub Christianity from even our history. He says, you know, we hear all this talk of cancel culture, right? A political correctness. And, you know, you recognize that often what's concealed and corrected are perspectives rooted in Christian beliefs about human life, about the human person, about marriage, about family, about more, right? So in your society and mine, the space that the church and believing Christians are permitted to occupy, he says, it's shrinking. It's getting smaller, right? Church institutions, Christian-owned businesses, where are they? They're increasingly challenged, they're harassed. The same is true for Christians working in education. Maybe you're in healthcare or government or other sections. If you are a Christian, you're a minority. You know, you hold on to certain Christian beliefs. People think that Christianity, he says this, is said to be a threat to the freedoms and even the safety of other groups in our societies. How is Christian belief, how is that a threat to the freedoms and the safety of other groups in our society? It's ridiculous. Christianity is about true freedom, right? But His Excellency, he hits it head on. I mean, this is so rich. There's so much here. It's unbelievable. He's right. I mean, you see that, and you've got to pull back. You got to zoom out. You got to be able to see exactly what he's saying. And when you hear what he says and you think about it, you say, he's on point. Look, we've all noticed, he says, the dramatic social changes in society with the coming of the coronavirus and the way that our government and authorities have responded to the pandemic. He says this is an important line. He says, I think history will look back and they will see that this pandemic did not change our societies as much as it accelerated trends and directions that were already at work. He's right. I've said this before, too. I've said that the pandemic was an accelerant thrown onto a fire, but now it has become a raging blaze, right? It has accelerated the trends and the directions that were already working. He says social changes that might have taken decades to play out, well, they're now moving more rapidly in the wake of this disease and our society's response. And look, I don't think anybody can argue this is true, he says, here in the United States. The new social movements, the ideologies that we talk about being today, they're being seeded, they're being prepared for many years in our universities and in our cultural institutions. I've talked about this for years with you on the air. You know, look at the indoctrination. Look at the liberal ideologies that have infected our institutions of higher learning. And look what happens to your kids. I mean, you don't have to even read the books. Just take a look at what goes in and what comes out. Your kids go in, 4 years later, they have no faith. They're embracing all this, you know, liberal, radical, anti-God, anti-Christian, you know, ideology. They've swallowed the culture pill. He goes on, he says, look, with the tension and fear caused by the pandemic and social isolation, and with the killing of an unarmed black man by a white police officer and protests that followed in our cities, these movements were fully unleashed in our society. He says, this context is important in understanding the situation here in the States. He says, the name George Floyd is known worldwide, but that's because for many people in my country, myself included, his tragedy became a stark reminder that racial and economic inequality are still deeply embedded in our societies. Is we need to keep this reality of inequality in mind, because these movements that are talking, that we're talking about, are part of a wider discussion, a discussion that is absolutely essential about how to build an American society that expands opportunities for everyone, no matter what color their skin is, or where they come from, or what economic status. So listen to this, and I know I have a few moments here. I'll share to his second point. That was his first point. His second point here talks about America's new political religions. And I'll throw this out, and you just, in the days ahead, as you watch your news, as you hear me talk, as you see some other things, try to digest some of this and see if he's not on point. And maybe if I have time, I'll share even more later with you in terms of what he said. But here's his thesis, if you will. He says, I believe the best way for the church to understand the new social justice movements is to look at them, or to understand them, he says, as pseudo-religions. I love that. What's the best way for the church to understand the new social justice movements? He says to look at them as pseudo-religions, even replacements and rivals to traditional Catholic or to Christian beliefs. He says, with the breakdown of the Judeo-Christian worldview and the rise of secularism, political belief system based on social justice and personal identity, that has come, he says, to fill the space that Christian belief and practice once occupied. That's exactly what's happening here. And you're seeing it with Black Lives Matter. You're seeing it with Antifa. You're seeing it with all these other groups that are out there, right? Benedict XVI, our Pope, he talked about this. He talked about the rise of secularism and what it means. He coined a phrase that I love. He called it the dictatorship of relativism, where your belief is your belief. You know, you can believe whatever you want. My belief is mine. There's no ultimate truth. And that's a modern deception. It's a modern heresy. To me, it's evil. It's really what it is. He says, with the rise of secularism, political belief system based on social justice and personal identity have come to fill the space that Christian belief and practice once occupied. He says, whatever we call these movements, social justice, wokeness, identity politics, intersectionality, you know, successor ideology, whatever you want to call it, he says, they claim to offer what religion provides. They provide people with an explanation for the events that are unfolding, right? For the conditions of the world. They offer that explanation. This is why these things are happening. And then they offer a sense of meaning, a purpose for living, the feeling of belonging to a community. And even more than that, like Christianity, these new movements, they tell their own story of salvation. Now, what's our story? And I'll pick back up on that. You know, he made this comparison to the Christian story and what, you know, they're calling right now the woke story or the social justice story. The Christian story, our story, your story and mine, in the very simplest form, goes like this. You were created in the image of God, and you were called to a blessed life in union with Him and with your neighbor, right? Human life has a God-given telos, an intention, and a direction. And through our sin, we alienate ourselves from God and from one another, and we live in the shadow of our own death. But by the mercy of God, by His love for you and for me, we're saved through the sacrifice, the death, the rising of Jesus Christ. Christ reconciles us to God and to our neighbor. He gives us the grace to be transformed in His image. He calls us to follow Him in faith and to love God, to love neighbor, to work, to build the kingdom. Right? All in confident hope that one day we will be with God perfectly for all eternity, right? That's our Christian story. That's what we're all about. Now more than ever, the bishop says, he says, look, the church and every Catholic, they need to know that story and they need to proclaim it in all of its beauty and all of its truth. He says, we need to do that because there's another story out there today, a rival salvation narrative. And we're being told in the media and in our institutions by the new social justice movements, you know, by the woke story goes something like this, that you can't know where we came from, but we're aware that we have interest in common, those who share our skin color or position in society. We're painfully aware that, you know, that group is suffering. They're alienated through no fault of their own. I mean, look at how the story goes. I hear my bumper running. Gosh, I wish I had more time. I'll tell you what, I'll pick this up on the other side. In fact, we will talk when I return. And I'll post this. You should really read this. I think everybody should read this. When I come back, Stephen White will join me. We'll break down some of what His Excellency Archbishop Gomez had to say. All right? If you want to join the conversation, feel free to dial in. I'll be back.